morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I am honored and privileged this morning to have with me someone I have a great deal of respect for and admiration, and that is, his name is Joseph Curtis. He is the superintendent of schools, the city of Pittsfield. I don't imagine there's a lot of people standing in line for those jobs, but a few. And for those people, we should pray. But here's one last announcement. One, I'm not going to do the announcements till the end of the show because I don't want to hold Joe up. He's a busy guy. And two, the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Committee, School Department, Linda Tyre in the mayor's office, Peter Marchetti in the city council, and or the one person riding their bicycle in the middle of North Street earlier this morning, tying up traffic. Those lanes to your right, sir, are bike lanes. The lanes to your left, sir, are automobile lanes. There we go. All right, I feel better now. It took me 20 minutes to get down North Street. Good morning, Joe. How's it going?
Good morning. Glad to be here. You know, it's I think we're coming really close. 10 or 11 days left to the 22-23 school year. So, you know, we're all looking forward to a slight bit of reprieve during the summer. Many people ask, do I have the summers off? The answer is no. We do try to squeeze in a few family vacations, but we really are very busy during the summer preparing for the new school year, as well as many teachers. Many teachers are engaged in workshops and professional learning, you know, preparing for their classrooms all throughout the summer. So it's a different pace, but we are still very busy.
And, you know, the thing, too, I think a lot of people the outside of the profession, my wife was a teacher for over 40 years. And you're right. They may take a couple of 3 weeks off, but then they're thinking about the class. They know who's coming in. They know the challenges and the rewards. And, you know, it's I get a little pushback every so often to people who feel that, oh, they got the summers off. Like, yeah, right. Most of them have a second job during the summer working at a camp or on a golf course somewhere. So, but I don't want to be a bad omen, but this summer's got to be really challenging with the new Taconic initiative, the new PHS initiatives. If I were you, the day school ends, I'd get in a car and drive like crazy for at least a week.
Yeah, we're actually, after school ends, in fact, the very next day, all of our district and school leaders go right into professional learning and planning for the new school year. So, yeah, we don't even have the next day off. You know, we had a number of weather days this year, which everyone loves when they happen, but not so much now. Yeah. So, but no matter what, we're required to be in school for 180 days. So
yeah,
we must make those up.
Joe, you've been fortunate in this respect. It hasn't been 70 or 80 degrees every day.
That's true.
You know, I mean, I went out this morning thinking it was 70 like it was a couple of days ago, and I had to come back and get my jacket. But
you know, I had thought, as you know, I was the interim superintendent during the pandemic, and the superintendent for part of it as well. And I kind of thought I experienced it all, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Until the Canadian wildfires happened.
Yeah.
And then we had to navigate through poor air quality.
Yeah,
and communicate with families about indoor recess and PE and field trips. So, you know, that was all happening at the mid to end of last week. So that was another first and navigating that. And I fear, unfortunately, that won't be the only time.
Yeah, we certainly have some challenging days ahead of us. I don't think it was the last pandemic or we'll ever see. But I have to applaud you, Joe, and I mean this, and what you guys did for walkers, because there are a lot of kids. You know, I push back when I hear, well, you know, Mount Greylock or whatever. Well, they don't have any walkers. Mm. You know, a lot of our students, I don't know the numbers, I'm sure, but I see the kids walking to, you know, Herberg.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, we have thousands of walkers, which is unlike, you know, any school district in our right. county. And so, you know, not only with the wildfires, but with the weather, you know, I had to cancel. There was a day during the winter season where I canceled school because of the cold.
I remember that. Yes.
And the wind chill predictions where the surrounding school districts didn't. And, you know, they really said the majority of our students either ride a bus or are carred to school. So, right. you know, the decisions are just different. Here in Pittsfield.
Wait, I don't want you to get disappointed, but there will always be a critic no matter what decision you make. I want to set you up for that.
Yeah. I learned that lesson very well and very hard, if you will, during the pandemic where
I bet you did.
You know, no matter what decision was made, there was fans of the decision, supporters,
yeah.
and then others that really accused me of making the worst decision of certainly my career, maybe in all time. But, and, you know, we had some criticism of the keeping children in for recess and PE and canceling outdoor field trips during the wildfire concerns last week. But, we also received emails thanking us. So, again, we try to do what's best for kids, you know, and navigate every new situation the best we can. I will admit fully that I was not accustomed to looking at air quality in the morning, but quickly adjusted and we made some quick decisions to keep our kids safe.
And I think the right decisions, because there are so many kiddos today with breathing issues, asthma, and emphysema. So, I mean, they're all, you know, it's like this, pro, why'd you have him on? You know, get your own show if you don't turn the dial. But I do want to, before I forget, which at my age is momentarily, I want to congratulate the principals and assistant, I always get her title wrong, Tammy Gage. What a magnificent job they have done, both principals, PHS and vice principal, and the people, the teams, to get everybody kind of, you're never 100% prepared for every eventuality and big moves like these. But by golly, I got to say it, and I mean this from my heart. I watch the school committee meetings. You know, I don't have anything better to do. But in all honesty, I just love the way you and your administration and the school committee interact. But also, what you do is based on, you ready? Data. I know that's queer. Really weird that people don't just say, oh, let's do this. And I applaud you for that, because it's easy if you're non-partial and you really do care about what's being said and learned and what's going to happen, like I am, they're fascinating meetings.
Well, I even said during my city council budget presentation, as we were talking about the restructuring study that we're doing right now.
Right.
And the strategic planning that we're also doing right now, really, you know, two unprecedented events in our school district's history, that we want to move forward making decisions based on accurate information, data collected, and not emotions of the moment. And I think that we've all been witness to decisions being made based on emotion and not facts. And although that might satisfy a small segment of the population, it doesn't make the entire city feel that they had the opportunity to be heard. And that's critically important. I think the Taconic all CTE decision is an example of that. We did not rush to make a decision, right? We took almost a year of community outreach, communications with business partners, communication with the school committee itself, our school principals, et cetera, on and on. So really, when the school committee made that vote, ultimately, there had been a multitude of opportunities for anybody in the community to have input and to process that possibility. And I think you've heard relatively small levels of disagreement about the decision once it was made.
Absolutely. And I don't think a legitimate, let me just say this, in a legitimate discussion, the naysayers, I really don't know, other than it's emotion, because the facts, the data, the irrefutable data has been presented in the open public, in the open arena. And it's just, well, I don't want you to close Tucker School because I went there. Well, you know, but we don't have the kids going to Tucker or Mercer. I mean, Joe, you're not going to believe this, but I'm old enough to remember when they closed some of those schools.
Yes.
The hoopty-la there was about that. And it was the right decision. And the poor people who made it, they paid the price.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because people cite, you know, really going back to the 1980s when we had probably close to double the students. And so their assumption is, well, you could close half the schools because we have half the students. But, you know, as I again said in the city council and school committee budget presentations, that school is different now. Students are provided with services that they never were provided with in the 80s. And even when the elementary schools, the five were remodeled in our middle schools, they were remodeled with very little what we call service provider space.
Right.
You know, space for speech therapists and occupational therapists and reading interventionalists, et cetera, could actually meet with students. You know, if you look at a school like Egremont, which was remodeled,
right,
which you know well,
yeah,
is one conference room in that entire building.
Yes.
And it's very small, let's say. So they've had to kind of reclaim the old computer lab and the library and such. To have spaces, small group spaces for their professionals, educators, to work with children. Yeah. And that just wasn't thought of in the 80s. So, you know, we can't just close half the schools. Yeah. But we are having an objective, a party without bias, doing this study for us so they can make the recommendations based on our data. And that's how it has to be.
Yeah, you know, I mean, people don't, and you're exactly right, Joe, too. Educate, the delivery of education has also changed. In this respect, when I was at St. Charles School, we had 54 kids in the first grade.
Yeah.
You know, one nun and a pointer. That's all she needed.
Yeah.
She was armed. But seriously, my experience with youthful offenders in troubled youth, let's just say that, there's such a demand for the school and what in all the school has to deliver. It's just not education today.
No.
Some kids, that's their meals. That's where they eat the majority of their meals. That's where they shower in the gym. I mean, there's a lot of things. That I I think, and this isn't a criticism, this is a comment. Sometimes the schools themselves don't advertise all they do. I don't know if that's right or wrong. That's my opinion.
No, unless you have a child that participates in all of those services, you might not know. But, you are absolutely correct that, and I use the example again in both of my presentations of, my dad, I didn't grow up here, but my dad actually went to, and my aunt went to Mercer Elementary School, where I am right now.
Yeah.
And they tell stories. My dad has passed, but my aunt tells stories, that there was one principal in this building when it was a school, and then it was a teacher and a class, a large class of kids. Yeah. And that was it.
No parents.
They didn't even eat lunch here. They actually walked home.
That's right.
They lived over on John Street. They walked home for lunch. I think many remember those days with fondness, they're gone.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why this study has to be done, so we can actually lay out a plan over the next 3 to 5 years to downsize our school district in a responsible way.
Yeah.
Where all of our students can still receive the services they desperately need, and teachers can teach in a classroom that's conducive to learning as it must be now. And that, again, very different than decades ago. No comparison.
I can remember at North Junior High one time, currently named Reed, it took three teachers showing a film to get the projector to work. They had a film on a reel. They just never had been trained in that.
Yeah.
Hey, we have all this technology, and that for the majority of the teachers are trained in
it. Yeah.
There wasn't technology then.
Yeah, it's part of, and that's something I'm very grateful for, is we found a way, no matter where a child goes to school in the city of Pittsfield, they have the same access to the technology and teachers that anyone else does. That's not the case in every school district, where one school might have more access than another. We've ensured that, every teacher has the same access, every student has the same access to technology. It's just looking at the physical plants of our schools, is essential, because even though we celebrate the remodeling of I believe 7 schools in the 90s, that was 30 years ago.
That's
close
right.
To in some cases.
So
it's time for another look. And we recognize that we can't physically and financially maintain the amount of buildings we have. We know that. But I also think it would be incredibly irresponsible for me to say, well, I think this school should close and this school should close and this school should close without gathering any input from our customer, right? Our students, our families, our community members, they must be part of this decision-making process. Must.
You and the Polish princess both worked in a community school. Now, how old are they? I'm trying to think. 80s?
They were actually built. Conti was built first.
Yeah.
I believe 1972.
Okay.
Is their cornerstone. And Morningside was built almost immediately after, 1974.
Right.
As the cornerstone indicates. So, at the time the other schools were remodeled, right? Again, the 90s, those schools were only 20 years old.
Right.
Right. And they had incredible meeting spaces and large libraries and gymnasiums and cafeterias. So it wasn't that the city or the city leaders at the time didn't care about those schools.
Right.
They were virtually new.
Yeah.
But they were built, in an era where open space was
in classrooms.
Yeah, open space was a curious educational endeavor that, you know, started over in England, I believe. And ultimately it didn't pan out right. to those who anticipated it would. There are a vast amount of positives about open space, and like anything else, there's not. There is some negatives to it for kids and adults who work in them, no question.
And you know, education, like everything in life, is evolutionary. We are learning more about how people learn, and this generation learns. I mean, I hesitate going out to a restaurant. You see how well I am with technology. Well, I hesitate going out to a restaurant or a ball game or anywhere, or even a movie, that people don't have their phones and they're on them. I mean, I was at a place the other day, and the Polish princess and I, and there was a wonderful family, mom, dad, three kids. They're all on their phones.
Yeah.
They're not talking.
Well, we discussed that. We began to discuss that at our last school committee meeting. As you know, the Commissioner Jeff Riley with the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education brought the problem, if you will, to his board. For a discussion, and we had a small discussion at our last school committee meeting, because we really have to make some decisions, and the decisions have to be completely consistent at all schools in our school district.
Right.
Is, you know, the expectations can't be different in every classroom, and they can't be different in every school. What the solution ultimately is yet to be determined. Some will say, take them away. Don't allow them. Some will say, embrace them. Let them use them in instruction. And then others will have kind of a hybrid approach.
Right.
But whatever we ultimately end up with deciding in the end, what's more important than the actual decision is that everyone follow them. And I mean, not only our students,
right,
our educators, our staff,
yeah,
and our families.
Yeah.
That's incredibly important.
You know, interesting you say that. I won't get into a lot of it, but I was doing some writing the other day, and I was reminiscing about a situation at the Youthful Offender Program where the issue of role modeling came in. Now, obviously, our students aren't violent offenders or youthful offenders, but the staff there didn't understand that not only were they responsible for their jobs and their security and all that, but they were also should be positive role models. And I reminisce to my days in Pittsfield High and North. We had some of the greatest role models you could ever have. Coach Kowalski, Haustowski, Mr. Quinn in science, Mr. Renner. I mean, just wonderful people that were role models, and that still exists in Pittsfield today. We know a plethora of teachers, and they're so dedicated to theirs. And they were really upset with COVID because they were away from their kiddos.
Yes. Yeah. There was certainly national criticism about remote schooling.
Yeah.
Local and state. But, you know, educators, you can talk to any educator,
yeah,
and they will tell you that was not certainly the highlight of their career in any way.
No.
They did not, although many do work from home, as you know, that's not something that's desirable for a teacher.
No.
Or any member of a school staff. It's, you know, we do the work to be with our kids, and, you know, and I think many kids would say the same, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, the kids in the neighborhood said that. They hated it, you know. And now I guess, you know, they'll hash this over. I'll be long gone. They'll still be arguing about it. about what they did right and what they did wrong. And let's point a finger at somebody. Let's point a finger. Instead of saying, no, why don't we just collect the data, make the decision in, for the next one, how we respond. You know, I take my hat off. I've said this 100 times, 1,000 times maybe, to the mayor of the city of Pittsfield, Linda Tyer, how she put together, you and you were part of it, the team. And it wasn't just the mayor or sitting up there delivering edicts.
Right.
It was a team effort. And it worked so well, they sent people from Boston to study what we were doing.
Yeah, it was really, it was certainly an honor to be a part of that team and to be able to collaborate with city leaders from all areas of city government and leadership was so critical because all of us were navigating every minute of every day in a way that was unprecedented. So to have that collaborative partnership, you know, there was a time we were almost doing check-ins every day.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, it you know, it certainly as the pandemic went on, we did less check-ins, but still, you know, every week, every month as things evolved. So it was a great partnership.
Yeah, and it again, it really does take a village, and that's that emphasized that it takes a village. Working with the hospital and the police and the fire and EMS and you and, you know, the department. Oh, man, I applaud her for doing it. And I applaud all the people who are on that team to getting things done.
Yeah, I really appreciate, you know, when you said it does take a village, because I think too often today, and this is everywhere, everyone is looking for someone to blame. And, you know, that is just not productive. It doesn't actually move anything forward.
Right.
Even if you find someone to blame in the moment, that doesn't actually help, you know, to move things forward in a productive way that's actually going to create a result that everyone desires. So, but that's what's going on in our society now. It's not just here at all.
It's everywhere. And Joe, you couldn't have said it better. Nothing productive comes out of it.
Nothing.
Because I'm an old man now, and it's been my experience through careers from several countries and different cultures and everything, that no one, I would hesitate to believe that people intentionally mess things up. I can remember being in a policy discussion, and you go back to some of the policies in the 50s and 60s and see if they'll fly here today. But in this policy discussion where the person said, well, that was just stupid. Well, fortunately, some of the people who made that decision for that policy were still available. And I asked them to come in and tell us their thinking behind it. And you know what? When they did that, it was perfectly logical.
Right.
It doesn't work today, but it did that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the key is you took the time to actually inquire, right? And that's becoming a rarity as well, is people, and again, this isn't exclusive to Pittsfield at all in any way, but people take the opportunity to rush to judgment.
Yes.
And don't presume positive intentions. And I have to presume positive intentions every day. And you know what, to be quite honest, sometimes when you inquire and you investigate, sorry about this.
That's all right.
The intentions weren't positive. That does happen.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. Yeah. But yeah. There was an underlying motive
You can't start out thinking that.
Yeah.
And I've seen that often, you know, again, I've seen it locally in Pittsfield. I've seen it statewide, nationally, where the assumption is that the person doesn't care or isn't knowledgeable.
Yeah.
And that makes this even harder to find leaders.
Right.
Want to try to affect change, right? And we've seen that.
I mean, I applaud everybody who's taken out papers to run for public office in today's world. I do give free counseling sessions at night. Stop by and because something's wrong with you. No, but seriously, because it's as a friend of mine said, who's still in the general Washington, D.C. area, sometimes it's toxic here. And, you know, Joe, you nailed it. Nothing gets done when we're at each other's throat. Nothing positive. And hang in there, folks. The guy, the good-looking guy you see there, his name is Superintendent Joe Curtis. He's the president. Yeah. No, he's not that foolish. He took the superintendent's job. I had questions there, but he's the superintendent of our schools. We'll be right back. Lots going on in the schools. Some big changes for the good will be coming up this fall. We'll talk about them when we come back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. This is PCTV channel 1301 on Spectrum Cable. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from BeFair. BeFair is one of the largest premier human service agencies in Berkshire County. If you're looking for services for a loved one or are interested in caring for the people we support, visit BeFair.org today for available opportunities.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM. Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back. The guy you see here, I have the greatest respect for him. I really do. His name is Joe Curtis. He is the superintendent of Pittsfield Schools. And in my opinion, and I mean this, he's doing a yeoman's job, because the state of education, the pandemic threw us into a curve, the Canadian smoke threw us into a curve. Who knows what the next curve will be?
I think that's, you know, that's the biggest issue we all face, is we don't know what the next curveball will be, or what we'll have to explore and navigate. And that, you know, when you wake up in the morning, it can change as quickly as that. Oh, so, yeah. You know, but nevertheless, I it's truly an honor to be the city's superintendent, you know, of our school system. And I appreciate your recognition that we are trying to affect responsible change, you know, to ensure that our students receive a high quality, rigorous education. Change takes time, though. Yes. And, you know, although I've been here for almost 30 years now, I've only been the leader of the school district for just about two years, even though I was the deputy superintendent for a good amount of time. The school district was under the charge of the superintendent. So, you know, during my, you know, interim superintendent, that period of time when I was interim superintendent and navigating through the pandemic, you know, I knew that we had to do things, essential things, that when we exited the pandemic, that we had to address right away. And writing our new mission, yeah, vision, and core values was critical, right? Yeah. Forming a committee to talk about school safety, doing an equity audit, and then, you know, as we're doing right now, conducting a restructuring studies. Because, as you know, Bill, for decades, people have been talking about, do we really need the amount of school buildings we have now?
Right.
And I wanted to make sure that we went through a comprehensive study with a group and a facilitator that didn't hold bias, right? Didn't hold old memories of of one school or the next, and could make recommendations that were based on community input and involvement. And that's what we're doing right now. We're doing that this year to make decisions for our future.
And it's being done, and I want to really emphasize this because sometimes you have to get ahead of the narrative to stop it from being made, written, or whatever. It's being done scientifically. It's not, well, we like the kids in that area. We don't, you know, the kids in this area. It's being done, and I said this in the first half of the show, what I admire going back to probably Jake Eberwein, definitely Jake McCandless and Joe, when they go, and I suggest before you say anything, you watch the school committee meetings and some of the subcommittee meetings. I mean, I remember watching you and Jake, Dr. McCandless, and for the new Taconic, and you were discussing the color of the fabrics of furniture. They had to lock me up.
Yeah,
I mean, well, I don't know if orange is a good color. Well, I like blue. And I'm thinking, get me out. I can't watch this anymore. You know, I'm a nutcase as it is, and that would have just pushed me over. But the way you're approaching it, scientifically, data driven, research driven, current trend driven, it's the only way you can do something of this magnitude, in my opinion.
Yeah. It is the only way. And, you know, to really articulate nearly a year-long process before decisions are made and all the opportunities for the community to be involved, either in in-person outreach events, we're actually having one tonight, or the surveys that we put forth, I think it's essential because too often, as we were just saying before, people will receive an email or two emails or five emails and base a decision or a recommendation on those emails. And that's not a fair representation of our entire city. As you know, we have tens of thousands of residents.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to make an organizational shift based on the opinions of just a few just wouldn't be responsible.
Yeah, and it's a bigger scope. It's a bigger universe than just your kid's classroom.
Yeah.
And while I applaud parents who get involved. I wish more, and I think you're with me, more parents would become involved in their kiddos' education. But when you're Joe Curtis and you're sitting there, it's the universe of the Pittsfield public schools and the products that they, and I plural, products that they deliver.
Yeah, and you know, obviously our physical plant, our school buildings, every day offer opportunities for our educators to educate our children, right? So
yes, sir.
It's not just about the physical plant.
No.
But it's critically important. This is the main structure that's really remain the same, you know, be it our school buildings, our school attendance districts, where you go to school, I'm sorry, where you live designates where you go to school. That's all remained virtually unchanged for decades. Yeah. So, and depending on who you talk to, again, the school district has served their child very well, yep, or not so much.
Yeah.
But a part of that is the structure of our district. You know, I was explaining to a community member once, and I was speaking on behalf of some of my old students when I was a teacher. And, you know, what I realized in those years is that they didn't even have access to some areas of our city.
Yeah.
And so they didn't know, let's say, that the William Street connector and neighborhood or elementary school even existed. They had no way to get there. They had no opportunity to travel throughout the city. So, you know, really looking at, should we preserve our school attendance districts, where you live designates where you go to school, or should we provide opportunities for children from across the city to go to school, yep, with each other? That's not my answer to determine.
Right.
That's why we're conducting this study.
Well, I just throw in my two cents. I came out of St. Charles School on Lenox Avenue. And I went to North Junior High, also known as Reed. I thank my lucky stars and the good Lord every day that I had the opportunity to go to North Junior High in PHS. Because all of a sudden, I was with a whole bunch of people. Several of them did not look like me. We all went to class together. We went to gym together. We were friends. We ate at the same tables. And I think when looking back, that was part of my education. It wasn't reading. It wasn't writing. It was socialization.
Sure.
And understanding that, you know, whatever we look like, that's the, I call that packaging. It's what's inside the person. And so I throw that out for no reason other than I really to this day still feel that way. I have such a commitment to PHS, it's unbelievable.
Well, you know, and for the first time, in almost 50 years, we have students from across the city attending Pittsfield High School in the fall, and attending Taconic High School in the fall, right? So we haven't had that scenario since the old Taconic High School was built.
Right.
And so, you know, now we are providing that opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, so no matter where you live, you have an opportunity to go to Pittsfield High School or Taconic High School.
Yeah, and to me, I don't know which way the world's going to go now, but preparing young people to fill in the trades, to me, the move you, the department and you and the school committee and to make Taconic Voc Tech, I know they got a new term for it. I can't remember what it is, but to me, that was brilliant because there's such a demand and people, I mean, all you have to do is call a plumber. I'll be 2 weeks, you know, but my toilet's over falling.
And you know, the decision really came down to actually something very simple. It's, do we want to increase our capacity at Taconic High School to serve students that were interested in CTE? That was the question. And if the answer was yes, then we'd have to move to a full technical high school. And the answer was yes, as you well know. We wanted to make as many slots available each year for our incoming freshmen to participate in technical education. And, you know, I'm thrilled that, you know, I think one of the effects of the pandemic was that people began to honor people in the trades.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they really understood the essential nature of the services they offer every day, and a newfound respect, I always have it, was had by, you know, not only just our local community, but certainly across the country for people in the trades, which I'm thrilled about.
Yeah. And I think you and Dr. McCandless need to take a little bit of a bow, and I mean this sincerely, because in the minds of people, to include students and teachers, you elevated the social status of vocational with the red blazers and competing and getting George Haddad and getting the Toyota certifications and all the other. It's a different world today. Yes, it's great to have a college education if that's your path.
Right.
I know a kid, and he's not a kid anymore, but his goal was to work with his hands. He didn't want to go to college. His parents were professionals, and they were so disappointed. Now he's a star.
Yeah.
I think, and you know, I'll say it again. I said it in the beginning. Tammy Gage. I can't remember. She's got a
assistant superintendent of college and career readiness.
You see, I don't remember. I don't even remember my last name. What she's done, and also, and I don't think we should forget this. I applaud for Taconic, but the principal at PHS and what they're planning and the programs they're delivering there. I'm trying to get her on just to talk about PHS and going there. I mean, they're phenomenal programs.
You know, it's incredibly important because we are, Miss Gage is also assisting Principal Esko in developing career pathways at Pittsfield High School. Our first one starting in the fall being engineering and with in partnership with General Dynamics. We had a wonderful meeting at General Dynamics. And, you know, they are completely on board and we're working through the logistics of their partnership. But, you know, it's a real opportunity. So if I'm a student in Pittsfield and one of the Chapter 74 programs at Taconic doesn't interest me, what other pathways do I have for my career?
Exactly.
And so Pittsfield High will eventually offer a number of career pathways that are different than Taconic's. And so, you know, this is a real win-win situation for our children.
When I had Superintendent Gage on and Dr. Bishop, when they were telling me about both schools and what was planned for both school, you know, it made me feel good because now, you know, a kid can go to Taconic and still go to college if they want.
Sure, absolutely.
There's been a lot of really bright people involved with the development of this whole process. And I think the city of Pittsfield and all the people, grandparents, parents, whatever, should be grateful to what we're doing here. And it's all positive and it's all for the betterment of the city, but also for the betterment in the education of our youth.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we're on a real strong path to affect positive change. And we just have to have certainly everyone's voice in that change, but everyone presuming positive intention. I think that's so critical. You can't foster an environment of positive change with constant criticism. It doesn't work. It doesn't work for anyone, no less our school system.
Right. And I can tell you from my experience, and I will take this to the grave with me, the only out for kids in trouble with the law, the only out is education. Now, you can disagree with me, but I've been in the criminal justice field for over 50 years. And I can tell you what makes me feel good, too, is that now in our school system, in the pitch, and I'm sure others, I don't know what others do. We have the ability to catch a kid has a learning disability and get right on it. And believe me, when I ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program, they all had IEPs. And when you talk to them, they had the IEP, but not a lot was happening.
Yeah.
And most of them were reading at the second, third, and fourth grade levels. And they were, 17, 18.
Yeah, that we were speaking about it earlier, that partnership is critical. And we're always working to get better at it. You know, it's essential to have the home as a partner. And both members of that partnership have to work together for the common good of the child. And that's something we're always trying to make stronger. right? You know, it's
absolutely,
but it's essential to have for the success of any student. Essential. There's no way when there's some disagreement between those partners, the child does not grow as they should, academically or socially. So always trying to get better at that partnership is essential. There's no, and both members of the partnership have ownership.
Absolutely. Right? And responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know you got to go. I want to thank you for taking the time. I know how busy a guy you are. I wish you some time off this summer. I try start off with Sunday and work backwards.
I'm a camper. We love to camp, my family. So I'm looking forward to at least a couple of days at a campground, enjoying a campfire just great conversation with family.
Yeah, and don't forget to leave these home. I don't know, where is it? There it is. Leave these or shut it off because
we'll shut it off. Yeah.
I worked for a boss one time. He said, "Don't call me unless the place burns down." He was on vacation. Joe Curtis, you are a real asset to the city. Thanks for all that you do. And do me a favor. Thank Rosemary. You know, I think a couple more years experience, she's going to have that job down.
Yeah, I certainly will thank her on your behalf and mine, of course.
And all the people who contribute so much, but especially Tammy and the both principals. And I will try to reach out again to the PHS principal, because I think it's important that people know we're not throwing one away for the other.
Absolutely not. Right. You know, Pittsfield High will play a vital role for decades to come.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Joe Curtis, you're a good man. I don't care who says what. I think you're a good man. And to Joe and his family and all the people in the Pittsfield School, God bless. And stay tuned, folks. I've got a bunch of announcements. Joe, I'll let you run. Thank you for
everything. Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
You back. Be well. You too. Have a great summer. All right. Cabaret is that's going to open on June. It opened June 14th. It's through July 8th. You should try to get to see it. But what I'm interested in, and I had a show on about anti-Semitism. And I hope you saw it. It's alive and well in Massachusetts and everywhere, I guess. But there's a reflections of anti-Semitism and the cautionary tale of Cabaret. Thursday, June 29th, 10:45 a.m. Boyd Quinson Stage. And that's a panel of Jewish thought leaders exploring relevance of art and theater in today's climate of anti-Semitism. It's sponsored in association with the Jewish Federation of the Berkshires. I would strongly encourage you to do that. The play, I don't even know if you can still get tickets. I don't think you can because it ended June 17th. But I saw a play that touched my heart. It was written by the great Mark St. Germain. I tried to have an interview with Mark, and we had some technical difficulties, and it didn't come to pass. But it was called The Happiest Man on Earth, and it affected the Polish princess and I very, very, very much. But I do want to say, too, that there's a lot of things going on. The Civitan truck, they're going to be Saturday, June 17th, and that you will have missed that one, too. But here's the one I really want to push. I really want to push this one. Ray Giardino. It's called Relay for Life. You all know about it. It's about cancer and fighting cancer and raising money against cancer. It's going to be on June the 24th at Guardian. It's a big Guardian insurance company on South Street across from the Pittsfield Country Club. It's going to be a long, not a long day, but it's going to be a wonderful day about survivors and walks and raising money, volunteerism, and the strides we've made in the battle against cancer. My dad died of colon cancer. And my mother-in-law died of breast cancer, and we're making strides. Is it cured? No, not yet. But we got to keep trying to chase it down. It'll be a wonderful day. There'll be restroom facilities. They'll also be hosting crafters and antique cars. Saturday, June 24th, Biggins and Diggins will be there, the food truck. So, I just can't push this enough because it's so wonderful that they're doing this. They continue to do it. Ray does a wonderful job. Also, every first Friday and Saturday, May through December, down at the clock tower on South Church Street, there's an artist, group of artists there in that building. It's the Eagle Building. It used to be Old Eaton's Paper. They're doing, you got to go there. I mean, you just have to see it. The art and everything there is just phenomenal. And I definitely want you to go every Friday and Saturday in the evening. Jazz Dinner Series, 7 to 9 p.m., performances throughout the dining hours. You can go online at mail@bascomlodge.net, the top of Mount Greylock, beautiful place to go to a concert. mail@bascom.lodge, they have menus and reservations and all kinds of things like that. Excuse me. So I got to check my time here. Bottom line, folks, all I can tell you is on June 24th, the PHS class of 60, and I've been announcing this for months, but they're a great group of people. The class of 1969 will have their 54th class reunion. How cool is that? Also, I think this is really something everybody in Pittsfield should know and be very proud of. WTBR programs win national awards. Two local programs on Pittsfield Community Radio, this station, WTBR, won hometown media awards in the national contest conducted by the Alliance for Community Broadcasting. Backstory, let's hear it. Produced by Roberta McCulloch-Dews and Berkshire Sports Now with Robbie Zucker and Sean Cronin. They both won. What a prestigious award to win for anybody. And that is so true. Lastly, coming up July the 22nd, 5:30 to 9 p.m., Balderdash, there will be a first annual David Grover Scholarship Concert featuring Michael Fabrizio with special guests Puggy Demery and Mike Sacco. Also including Kathy Joe Grover and members of the Berkshire Theater Group Youth Chorus. Get your tickets. You can get them at the box office at the Colonial. Folks, have a great day. And let me just leave with this. God bless. And let's work together to take care of each other. Don't be so critical. Try to be a positive influence and what you run into today. That's all I can tell you. God bless. Be well. Bye.